I want to introduce Michael and Leonor. I think Leonor is going to be sharing this morning, but can we just say something about you guys? Because you're missionaries to some very interesting places. And when I was thinking about you guys this morning, I thought about a chalk art. If anybody's seen chalk art, it's the most amazing thing, a chalk artist who, and you know, at first it just looks like these lines, you know, they're just doing all these random lines on the board. And then all of a sudden they take the chalk and they go like this, and it opens up the whole picture. It's just clear as anything. And I was thinking, Michael, you shared some things along these lines, but you've lived these things where ordinary things become extraordinary. It's like we just go through life. There's a career path we go down, or there are friend choices, or geographic choices, things that we make. The Bible says, you know, we make our plans, but the Lord directs our steps. And so I see like you guys like a chalk art, you know, that God is doing something very beautiful through. So come and share with us what He's doing, because the picture is big, and we love that from this little place we can get a big picture of what God is doing. Thank you.
So thank you. So today is actually the first time I share in church like this. So I hope you will be patient with me. So exactly 3 weeks ago, we shared with you, we had been in Norway because we are called, the Lord called us to the Arctic, okay? And we were in Norway, and we were in a gathering of Sami people. You see them there dressed in their beautiful costumes, you know? And we shared with you, we use words like deep and abandoned worship, releasing a frequency of heaven to the Arctic and things like that. And I was thinking, for us, this has been a journey. We didn't arrive like that. And it's kind of a mouthful if I say, oh, well, the Lord has sent us to certain areas and to meet people and to deal with principalities. It's a mouthful. But we started somewhere. We all start somewhere. And so today, I inquired of the Lord what I had to say today, but I want to actually talk about worship at the individual level. Okay? So today we worship together, and the worshipers helped us ascend into worship. But we have to learn to do that individually. And the reason why we have to learn to do that individually is because our faith is individual. The Lord called each one of us to repent and to accept Him as our Savior. And that doesn't mean we don't come together. We do come together. And the Lord says to keep meeting together. And when we come together and we worship together, there are lots of things that happen. It's a higher level of worship, but we still need to do it individually. So the Lord says, Jesus said, God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship in spirit and in truth. So here we are, but I'm going to pray now. I pray that the fullest intention of what is in God's heart for you today will come. You are not here by coincidence. Some of you are visiting, like we have some people are visiting for the first time. We have Tommy here that is new into our midst. Some of you have walked with the Lord a long time, but yet today you're not here by coincidence. So I invite the Holy Spirit to do everything He wants today. I come under the headship of Jesus. I come under the headship of Jesus, and He will do great things today. So I invite your spirit to be open to receive what the Lord has for you today. So, okay, so I organize my talk in three parts. So, first, I will take from Hannah's talk last week. Hannah last week talked about a pattern of worship through the tabernacle. And I'm going to very briefly explain some practical method to enter into God's presence. Then I will talk about being there in the presence of God. And finally, I will arrive to the most important part, that is what is stopping us. And even if some of you feel today, oh, I've been walking with the Lord all these many years, God is so big, He's so big, that we can never have enough of Him. There is always more. So that is the most important part. And I will do this kind of in my way because I was given freedom. So there will be prayer, there will be, okay? Okay. So this is what Hannah showed us last week. This is a diagram. And so this is the diagram of the tabernacle in the wilderness. This was after the Israelites left Egypt and God was taking them to the land. But God gave them very, very detailed instructions about how to build this tabernacle. Tabernacle means a place to meet God. So when we worship, we are aiming to meet God. So in a way, we are creating our own tabernacle. We are creating our own altar. And all those scriptures I mentioned there, I'm not going to go through them. Hannah will. But these are very detailed instructions about what God wanted to attain through this. But the point is that God was in a way, the tabernacle was in a way a moving throne of God. So they had to carry it on their shoulders and they would move. So they would carry this moving throne and God was teaching them, I am always with you. And He was saying then that during the night He had fire, during the day He had clouds, I am always with you. But He was also teaching them, I am, or I should be the center of your life. And this is because when they camped, the tabernacle was in the middle, and all the tribes in a certain order were around it. So God was at the center. So today is the same. And God made it in such a way, He, the creator of heaven and earth, He made it in such a way, He's so holy and we are not, that to enter into His presence, there has to be a sacrifice. It has to cost us something, okay? And He made it in such a way that in those days, there had to be a blood sacrifice through animals. But then Jesus came and He became our blood sacrifice. And so we can enter directly into His presence. But what I want to talk to you today is how can we do this in practice? These are a lot of nice words. Oh, entering into the presence of God, the blood sacrifice of Jesus. So I'm going to be very practical today. Okay. So based on that drawing, you can see there are five parts. I talked about a pattern Okay, this is a pattern. God gave us this pattern, okay, because God is a God of order. So we have to enter a place to meet Him. We have to confess. We have to receive forgiveness, and then we are able to worship and to encounter the Lord. So how do we do this today? We decide to meet God. We decide to meet God. So that's the first thing. You have to decide to meet God, and you have to decide to enter this place. It's a figurative place today. We don't have a tabernacle to go to or a temple to go to. Even today, you are here today in church because you decided to come. And there is an expectation in your heart to meet God. And this is a good thing because there is a deep calling of the Father. There is a deep calling for each one of you to meet Him deeply. Okay, so this is good to make that decision. But how do you do that in practice? You have to observe yourself. There are things that will cause you to be more at peace. It could be walking in the woods. It could be sitting beside a river. It could be put in nice music, it could be lighting a candle, but you have to observe this way in which God wired you already, the Lord wired you already, where you get calm. So this is a decision. To enter in, you have individually, you have to mark a place and a time. You have to create a place to meet God. It could be in the car while you are driving and you put worship music, or you are in silence. For young moms, sometimes you feel, oh, I can't, the kids and this. And I tell you, I'm sorry, that's not the case. I remember reading some years ago a book. It was a biography of Susanna Wesley. She is the mother. She mothered many children. Some of them died before the age of 12. That was the times. She mothered two revivalists that changed the world. They changed Christianity. And what she did was she had a time during the day where she sat in her chair and she would put her apron over her head. And the children learned that was a time where mom was quiet and she was with God. So there is no excuse. There is no excuse. It's a decision. It's a decision to enter this place. Okay. So the next one, the next step, I am going to... It's about, this is a psalm. This is Psalm 122. Sorry, we are still entering the place of the Lord. And this is a beautiful psalm. And I'm going to read it to you and I'm going to pray it. Okay? So the Israelites, they had to ascend to heaven. They had, because Jerusalem is on a hill and the temple was on a hill, and they had to ascend and they would sing songs to meet the Lord. So they had to decide to walk, and they had to walk and sing these songs. So one of these beautiful songs of ascent is Psalm 122. I lift up my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore. So what I am telling you is, open your Bible, read the Psalms. This is a very basic instruction, and the church has done this for thousands of years. In the Middle Ages, this is the time where we have the Gregorian chants, where the monks will walk and they will recite the Psalms. I am a person that needs to move. So for me, when I read the Word of God, I move. And so I read this and then I say, Lord, thank you that you helped me. You that made heaven and earth, you that made the entire universe, you are helping me. You see every detail of my life, so you will not let even my foot slip. You watch over me. When we hear the people today from Nigeria and she says we are sleeping well, like the ability to sleep well comes from that certainty that God watches over you. So when you read the Word of God and you pray the Word of God back to God, what you are doing is you are putting the Word that is Jesus Himself inside of your heart. You are telling yourself, if you feel anxious, you are learning, God is always watching over me. And the Holy Spirit, in turn, will pull that out of you when you are praying. It becomes this beautiful circle. Okay, so we have learned so far, okay, I have to learn to worship the Lord individually. I have to open a space and a time to do this. And it starts, I will open the Word of God and I will pray the Word of God back to God. And I will put this word, this truth in my heart. I will grow my heart. Okay, so now we go to the next one. And the next place in the pattern is confession. And this Psalm 51 is a great psalm. It's a psalm that David wrote after he committed sin. A grave sin. He committed adultery with a married woman. When the woman was pregnant, he sent the wife, the husband of this woman, to die so that he would hide his sin, the baby that was coming. So this is a beautiful psalm, but in it, so I will not read it. You can read it yourself. But what matters is that David came to realize that only God can cleanse our heart. Yeah. Because you can hear this and you can sing it here in church, but there is a point where you realize, I have sinned against God. You also sin against people. But when you know God more, and when you understand how much He loves you, and you become aware that you have sinned against God, the magnitude of your sin grows. And true repentance comes. Okay, so to be able to write this and to say this, sometimes we don't feel it, but we start by saying it. We start by saying it and we repeat it and we repeat it and we ask the Lord to help us until this becomes very deep into our hearts. And I love verse 10 that says, create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Give me a constant spirit, Lord. I don't have a constant spirit. I sin. Lord, create in me a pure heart. And this is worship, guys. When we do these things and we enter, and then we enter and we enter, and we go deeper into the heart of God. And then David, that lived in a time where the sacrifices were animals and things that costed you, he came to the realization that the real delight of God was not actually burnt offerings and killing animals, but my sacrifice, oh God, is a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart you, God, will not despise. So we need to arrive to that place, okay, where we receive forgiveness. And you wait there, and you wait until you feel the forgiveness of God. And I tell you guys, sometimes we don't feel it because there is more to confess or because we have not truly repented. Okay, so then what is worship? Worship is all of that. All of that. So the Hebrew word is shaha and avad. So what we were doing today, we were extending our arms, we were in a way we were bowing down. Some of us were positioning our hearts in a prostrate position. Some of us were laboring and working to enter into God's presence. And all of that is worship. All of that. Okay? But worship is Romans 12:1. It says, I therefore urge you, brothers, on account of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God, which is your spiritual act of worship. So, we have to clean our life, guys. Our bodies are the Lord's. We have to clean our act. If we are committing sexual sin, we are not worshiping the Lord. And the Lord wants that we will worship Him even with our bodies. If we are in adultery, we are not worshiping the Lord. If we are not pure with our bodies, we are not worshiping the Lord. That is that simple. Okay, so worship is also, because Colossians 3:23 says, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for human masters. So when we do that, we are all that we are doing as unto the Lord. So the Lord wants that we worship Him, being good workers, being good students, being good children, good parents. That is also worship. So worship, we are called to live in a permanent state of worship. Okay? So worship means giving the Lord your best. And the pattern we learn as using the stages of approaching God in the tabernacle is a practical tool, is learning and practicing worship, entering in the presence of God. Okay. But what happens when we actually are able to meet the Lord, when we encounter the Lord? This is the most high form of worship. So we feel a peace that we cannot feel anywhere else. We discover different facets of God, His immense beauty. Our love for Him grows. We learn more about who we are. So we hear a lot, you're a child of God, you're an overcomer. We hear all of this, we read in the Bible, but it is in the presence of God that that becomes alive and you become empowered to actually be an overcomer. Okay? So we learn more, as I said, about who we are, then we are empowered to live a better life. And we hear from God what He requires from us. So I started by saying, yeah, the Lord called us to the Arctic. Yeah, the Lord called us to the Arctic, but this has been a journey for us. It has been a journey of entering into His presence, of taking our positions wherever God position us, of asking the Lord, Lord, what are you doing here? How can I help you advance what you are doing? And then God downloaded what He asked of us. Okay? So being in that place is so beautiful. It's so beautiful. So when you see some of us happy, clappy Christians, it's because we have, it's like, oh my God, it's so, and you move and you do funny things. It's because it is that intense, okay? And David in Psalm 84:10, he said, better is one day in your courts than a thousand elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked. So this verse speaks of a person that has come to the understanding that they would rather be in the Lord's presence than not. So guys, we need to develop that practice and that discipline of entering into God's presence because it's absolutely beautiful. And he even said, I would take a lowly position, a doorkeeper, what the world would call a lowly position, than to take a high position in the house of the wicked. Okay, so to be near God, even for a moment, is better than eternity anywhere else. So now I'm going to go. This is where God actually asked me to talk about. We are arriving to what God asked me to talk about, and is to ask you, what is stopping you from desiring more of God? Okay, and there are many reasons, but I searched the Lord and I felt He only wants to talk today about two things. One is our idea of a father. God is a father, but we have our own ideas of a father that are based on who our father was or was not on earth. And the second one is because we actually don't want more. Okay, so some of us did not have good parents. And some of us could have even experienced unspeakable things at the hands of parents or family members. We recently heard the testimony of Phil. And the culture of today, and I will use the word that the Lord uses, The doctrine of demons is that you are a victim and that there is nothing else for you, and poor you, and you are done, and look at what happened to you, and all of this. But that is not what God says. That is not what God says. God says that we are called to deeply forgive. And sometimes this happens through great pain. But the Lord is saying to you today, present your lament to me. Cry out, I love you. And after you cry out for the time that it takes, I want you to say, the past is the past, because I am saying to you today, step into the new, step in what I promise for you, step into your future, your healing is opening before you. And at this moment, you are in this river, you feel like you're in a river, but your feet are in the water of the river of life. And the Lord is saying to you, I love you. And I'm waiting for you to jump into my arms as a small child will jump into their father. The Lord is saying to you, go deeper into the waters of my river, and you will be safe and you will be healed. And the Lord is saying to you, you are not alone. You are in this church family. And there are people here who will walk with you through this journey of deep forgiving. And this is for some of you. And I encourage you to receive this word of the Lord. The Lord is saying to you, ask for help. I have prepared in advance those who will walk this with you. I love you, and I'm not leaving you. I have a plan. Okay. The second thing that I want to you is to talk to you is you actually do not want more. And this is hard because you are not aware that you don't know, want more. So the Lord, in the book of Revelations, he instructs, there is a letter to a church of Laodicea. Michael will read from that red letter. But what I want you to know is that the church of Laodicea was a very rich church. And today, Canada is a very rich nation. There is people that, there are no people that die of starvation in Canada. So we are rich. And we could live a very comfortable life and be numb. We can spend our life watching Netflix. We can do nothing. And we think we have it all. And this that is in our culture, it sometimes transpires into the church. And so the church of Laodicea was like, huh, it was like that. They had lost the fire. They had lost their values. They had lost their sight. They had very expensive clothes. And yet the Lord said, you are naked. And it was very interesting because in Laodicea, one of the great businesses of the church was that they had a balm for the eyes. They made a lot of money from this. But yet the Lord says, I encourage you to put balm in your eyes. And in their town, in the temple of their town, they have a bank system. So they were sacrificing to demons, and they were the way their money was being made was not pure. So Michael will read the letter And then we are going to pray about it.
I don't need the microphone except to speak to people online. She asked me to shout it, but so this is a message. Write this letter to the angel of the church in Laodicea. This is a message from the one who is the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of God's new creation. Imagine receiving this letter. I know all the things you do, that you are neither hot nor cold, and I wish you were one or the other. But since you are like lukewarm water, neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. You say, I am rich. I have everything I want. I don't need a thing. And you don't realize that you are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. So I advise you to buy gold from me, gold that has been purified by fire. Then you will be rich. Also buy white garments from me, so that you will not be shamed by your nakedness, and ointment for your eyes, so that you will be able to see. I correct and discipline everyone I love. So be diligent and turn from your indifference. Look, I stand at the door and knock. If you hear my voice and open the door, I will come in. And we will share a meal together as friends. Those who are victorious will sit with me on my throne, just as I was victorious and sat with my Father on the throne. Anyone with ears to hear must listen to the Spirit and understand what he is saying to the churches.
So, of all the letters, this is the only letter that the Lord addresses to the individuals. The other he addresses to the group. So I invite you to really consider, even if you think you have it all, as I said, we never have it all. We always have to keep a humble heart that receives more of the Lord. Because God is so big. He's so loving. He's so perfect. So I would like to finish this by us praying corporatively. And I want that we pray from, would you thank you? This prayer, I adapted it. It was written by Rebecca Greenwood. I adapted it. But I invite you to read it with all your heart. And if you could read it even sometimes thinking in someone else, someone that you've been praying a long time. But I believe all of us need this, and we have to renew our hearts and always guard for these things. So let's pray together and let's say, Jesus, I glorify and worship you as the truth. Thank you that in knowing you, the truth, the way, and the life, I am set free. I humbly come before you, and I repent in all areas where I am neither hot nor cold, but lukewarm. I repent where I have lost the burning and fire of a fervent heart. I repent where I have lost your values and put more trust in man-made wealth. I repent for trusting my own strength, the ways of man and the world, and building my own kingdom. I repent for being naked and blind in all areas where I have lost spiritual sight and vision. I repent for not hearing you when you have stood at the door of my heart and life, and I have not opened the door. Thank you for your forgiveness. I now open my heart and say yes to you and welcome more of you in my life. Jesus, I say yes to sitting at your table. Cause me to walk as the victorious overcomer you have positioned me to be. You are the victorious King of all, and I glorify you this day and forevermore. In your name I pray. Amen. So now that we have learned or remember a pattern to approaching God's presence, let's practice what we have learned today. And that concludes what I have for you today. Thank you.